This is what the recent protests coming out of Puerto Rico sound like. The students at the University of Puerto Rico are on strike. They've been protesting along with others on the island, essentially because of the massive debt that Puerto Rico is facing.
Right now, if you are in your car and you decide to go by La Avenida Ponce de León...
Fabiola Pagan is a student, and she's been part of the strikes.
You're going to see the gates filled with posters, messages...
On International Workers' Day, May 1st, during the largest of these protests, the labor unions joined the students and others on the streets. Thousands of people flooded into the main avenues of San Juan, and the protests eventually turned violent. Windows were shattered in the headquarters of Banco Popular. Police deployed tear gas to subdue the crowds. But one thing is for certain, many people in Puerto Rico have had enough. On today's show, it's all about fighters, standing up for what you believe in and finding the strength to get back up when you fall. We'll hear from Kate del Castillo, the telenovela star who fights for a better Mexico in her new Netflix show, Ingobernable. Also a teenage girl who fought with her self-image and an eating disorder. And a WWE champion fighter who recently released her first memoir. But first, we're going to check in on what's been happening in Puerto Rico. For the past decade, Puerto Rico has been dealing with a massive debt crisis. The island owes over $120 billion in debt and pensions.
The reason for the debt is complicated. Some people blame the government for years of bad financial management. Others blame the so-called colonial status of Puerto Rico and the island's inability to control its own destiny.
And that's resident Puerto Rican and co-host of our sister podcast, In the Thick, Julio Ricardo Varela. Hey, Julio.
Hey, Maria.
All right, Julio. So right now, the government on the island is making these massive cuts in spending in order to try to pay off this debt. And recently, the island has filed for a type of debt restructuring, which is similar to bankruptcy. Right, Julio?
Right. And there's been lots of protests. On top of everything, on June 11th, Puerto Rico is going once again to vote on the political future of the island, aka whether it's going to continue to be a territory or become a state or move towards independence.
Wait, Julio, they're doing another plebiscite?
It's another plebiscite, Maria.
And what makes it different now?
Actually, I think it matters now more than ever because the sense I'm getting from a lot of people on the island is that this whole debt crisis has sort of woken them up a little bit to believe that they can't control their own destiny. But I'm kind of jumping ahead of myself, and we'll get to that a little bit later.
All right, Julio. So what's up with the university protests? I mean, the University of Puerto Rico is on strike.
Let's just back it up for a second, because as you mentioned, the island has been dealing with a debt crisis for a long time now. So let's talk about the debt. At some point, the government of Puerto Rico realized that they really couldn't pay it off anymore. I mean, they were literally going into more debt to pay off the debt. So in 2016, President Obama and the Republican Congress intervened.
What the Congress and the Obama administration decided was to impose a law that established a control board and opened the possibility for Puerto Rico to restructure a big chunk of the debt.
That's Jose Delgado. He's the Washington, D.C. correspondent of El Nuevo Día, which is pretty much the largest newspaper in Puerto Rico. And he's one of the several people I spoke with for this Puerto Rico catch-up. The name of that law that he talks about is called Promesa, which means promise in English. It was created to help Puerto Rico solve its debt crisis. The biggest result of this Promesa bill was the creation of a fiscal control board. So basically what you have is sort of this board that tells the Puerto Rican government what they can spend on and what they can't. Let's say Puerto Rico's like the teenage kid. I being the dad, I'm the fiscal control board. They might make some money, but I say, no, you can only spend it on this. You can't have your bank account. And so as you can imagine, the fiscal control board has been very controversial in Puerto Rico.
The decision of the Congress to impose the Promesa law and the control board plunged Puerto Rico more into its colonial situation. And that created all that bankruptcy process under the existing colonial territorial system.
Okay, so what he means by colonial situation is this. So according to Delgado, Congress in a way is taking control over the inner spending and workings of the island, meaning it has the power to tell Puerto Rico what to spend its money on and how. And so recently, there's been a bunch of big budget cuts in Puerto Rico. And on the receiving end of one of the largest cuts is the University of Puerto Rico. So I spoke with Carlos Del Rio. He's the vice president of the board of the university system.
So PROMESA has very wide powers to force Puerto Rico to balance its budget in, I think, it's 2 years. So that's the reason why all of these cuts are hitting us, because the fiscal board is monitoring every fiscal plan and every budget and every law to ensure that we balance our budget.
And this is where we get to the reason behind the protest. One of the biggest budget cuts of all, like we said, has been for the University of Puerto Rico, which lost almost 20% of their budget for the year.
Which is a pretty massive cut. And obviously, the students and a lot of other people were not happy about this, right?
Right. And one of those students is Fabiola Pagan, who we heard from earlier. She's the general director of Pulso Estudiantil, which is a student-run media outlet at the University of Puerto Rico.
It's a very, very divided issue. But I think all the university's community can agree on is that the University of Puerto Rico cannot undergo the cuts that are being proposed right now.
The university, particularly the main campus in Río Piedras, is literally closed. Classes are not in session. If you're not a student or staff, you can't even enter the campus. Fabiola's been covering the strikes closely, and she says there are two main reasons they're happening.
Number one, we're against the fiscal control board. And number two, we want the debt to be audited to know what we're paying for. People want to know, okay, there's this enormous debt, but what am I paying for it?
Okay, wait a second, Julio. I mean, that's such a specific question, like from a taxpayer. So what exactly does she mean that they don't know what they're paying for?
That's part of the problem. The details of what's in the debt, they aren't public. So the students are frustrated, other people are frustrated, and Fabiola compares it to eating out at a restaurant.
And all of a sudden, they give you a receipt, and it just says the amount of money you owe. And you're like, wait, give me a second. I mean, like, I want to know what each thing was worth, if there's anything wrong with my receipt. And the government is basically saying, you know what? No, you just can't find out. You're just going to have to pay it.
So imagine that you've got over $120 billion that you owe on the island, and the government is cutting services that you need. So, I mean, knowing where all that money went, it seems pretty important, right?
Exactly. But from the perspective of the board at the University of Puerto Rico, these protests aren't really helping. Here's Carlos Del Rio from the university's board again.
The challenge for the university dealing with these demands is that they are not under the control of the university. So the students are really using the university platform to really complain that the United States Congress is not doing anything. If anything, it's using more of our limited resources, but we have to pay the fiscal board. And that is turning into millions every month that we have to dish out when we don't have enough money to pay our creditors.
So his point is essentially this, right? These protests are about important, valid issues, but the university itself can't do anything about it. And really, the students are protesting the bigger picture of Puerto Rico's debt crisis.
But there is the argument, right, that the only path to economic recovery for Puerto Rico is by making some budget cuts. I mean, something's got to give.
Right. And Jose Delgado from El Nuevo Día, the newspaper, agrees. But he thinks it has to be a combination of things to get Puerto Rico back on its feet. They also have to reduce the debt. So essentially, to get the people in banks who loan Puerto Rico money to be okay with not getting all their money back.
And at this point, without any intervention from the Congress or a big cut that allow Puerto Rico to save some money to invest, we don't have a path to economic recovery.
In other words, it's kind of like they've got so much of their money that they're using to pay off the interest of the debt that they don't have any money left over to actually invest or create new industries that eventually are going to make money for Puerto Rico in the long run. It's kind of like if you take all of the income that you have and you're just paying off the interest of your credit card bill. I mean, that's crazy.
Exactly. So what the government of Puerto Rico is essentially doing right now is they're in talks with the people they owe money to and saying, hey, let's make a deal. That deal may mean these creditors are not getting all their money back, and that's what's called restructuring the debt.
So, Julio, the economic situation sounds ridiculously complicated. And on top of that, there's been this decision to hold a plebiscite about, you know, what the people of Puerto Rico would like to see as their future in terms of the status, to remain as a commonwealth, to become the 51st U.S. state, or to become an independent country of its own. Ultimately, the only ones that can decide the future of Puerto Rico's status is actually Congress, right? Not the people of Puerto Rico.
Right, exactly. It's a non-binding plebiscite, which means that Puerto Ricans can go to the polls, but Congress, they don't have to pay attention to the results. But what's interesting about this plebiscite, because of the debt crisis and because people associated the debt crisis with the current Commonwealth status, they were going to be like, I'm not voting for Commonwealth because of the debt crisis. And originally, the plebiscite didn't even have the Commonwealth option on the ballot. It was only going to be between independence or statehood. And then the Department of Justice intervened.
Why would the Department of Justice intervene about a vote taking place on the island of Puerto Rico?
A lot of observers of Puerto Rican politics and journalists like Jose Delgado believe that in the end, it's in Washington's financial interest to keep Puerto Rico a commonwealth.
The voices from Washington, from the government of Donald Trump, has been in support of keeping the option of the status quo.
So basically, Maria, if Puerto Rico were to become a state, it would have greater tools to declare bankruptcy like tomorrow and be able to restructure its debt in a much more streamlined way. But when you're staying a commonwealth, you're still falling under fiscal control boards. So the mood in Washington right now is like, why would Puerto Rico even become a state?
And in a short form, we can just say it's really complicated.
Super complicado, Maria.
Thanks for helping us try to understand it, Julio. And thank you for all of your reporting on this.
Thank you, Maria.
And we'll be keeping you updated as the news develops on the island. Julio Ricardo Varela is the co-host of our sister podcast, In the Thick, which is a talk show about politics from a POC perspective. We'll